Ever heard of a company called GoPro? They like basically created this whole action camera market, went public, $1 billion valuation, and then almost crashed and burned.
Yeah.
Today's deep dive is going to be all about what they missed and, more importantly, how you can avoid making the same mistakes.
Right.
We're going to crack the code of market needs and gaps
Yeah.
using this awesome guide called Mastering Market Needs and Gaps.
It's really fascinating, the whole GoPro story, because they initially like nailed a huge market need.
Oh, yeah.
People wanted these durable, easy to use cameras to, you know, capture all their adventures.
Yeah.
But what they kind of failed to do was anticipate how those needs would change.
Okay, so let's back up a bit for anyone just tuning in.
Sure.
Can you quickly define what we even mean by these terms, market needs and market gaps?
So think of market needs as like the problems or desires that your customers have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in GoPro's case, it was that need for adventure documentation.
Yeah.
A market gap, on the other hand, is like that missing piece of the puzzle. It's that unmet need or an underserved segment within that market.
So in GoPro's case, the need was clear at the beginning, but they maybe missed some emerging gaps later on.
Exactly. As technology evolved, smartphones started offering, you know, decent video quality, and suddenly GoPro wasn't the only game in town.
Right.
They hadn't fully anticipated the need for things like better image stabilization or seamless integration with social media, needs that their competitors were just much quicker to address.
That makes total sense. So it's not enough to just solve the initial need. You have to like keep evolving and
Right.
sort of anticipate these emerging gaps.
Absolutely. And that's where market analysis comes in.
Okay.
It's like having this crystal ball, you know?
Oh, wow.
But instead of magic, we use data and research
Right?
to understand where the market is heading.
You know, I used to think market analysis was just for these giant corporations with,
Well,
teams of analysts,
yeah.
but this guide really emphasizes that it's crucial for businesses of all sizes, especially for someone like me who is just starting out. Why is that?
Well, think of it this way.
Yeah.
Let's say you're launching that online vintage clothing store we talked about.
Okay.
Market analysis can help you figure out if there's actually enough demand for, you know, those 80s band tees you're so passionate about.
So, less about my amazing taste and more about what people are actually searching for.
Right. It's about finding that sweet spot where your passion overlaps with a genuine market need. Market analysis can help you refine your product selection, set competitive prices, and target the right customers,
Yeah.
which ultimately saves you time, money, and a whole lot of heartache.
Okay. Less wasted effort, more profit.
Exactly.
I'm on board, but where do we even start?
Right.
I'm looking at this guide and it mentions things like thorough market research, audience segmentation, competitive analysis.
Yeah.
It feels a bit overwhelming, to be honest.
It can seem daunting at first, but the guide breaks it down into these manageable steps.
Okay.
It all starts with the research. You know, think about diving deep into these online forums where vintage clothing enthusiasts hang out
Okay.
and analyzing what they're talking about, what they're looking for, what frustrates them.
So it's like becoming a detective for vintage fashion trends.
Exactly. And this is where tools like Google Trends can be your best friend.
Oh, really?
You can see if interest in 80s band tees is rising or falling, what related searches people are making,
Yeah.
and even where the biggest pockets of interest are geographically.
Ooh, that sounds like a gold mine of information.
It is.
What else is in our detective toolkit?
Well, beyond the research itself, you've got to understand your audience.
Okay.
This is where segmentation comes in.
All right.
It's about understanding that not all vintage lovers are created equal.
Right.
Some might be diehard collectors,
Yeah.
while others are just looking for like a cool statement piece.
So I shouldn't try to sell a $500 vintage concert tee to someone who just wants a cute $20 top for a party.
Exactly. Segmentation helps you tailor your message and offerings to different customer groups, making your marketing much more effective.
Makes sense.
Think about what each group needs, what their price sensitivity is, where they hang out online.
This is starting to make a lot of sense.
Good.
So we've done our research, we've figured out our different customer groups. What's next?
Yeah, we need to size up the competition.
Okay.
This is where competitive analysis comes in.
Right.
Who else is selling vintage clothing online? What are their strengths and weaknesses? What are they doing well, and what could they be doing better?
That sounds a bit like, I don't know, corporate espionage.
Huh.
Yeah.
Not quite. Think of it more as gathering intelligence.
Okay.
We're not trying to steal their secrets, but we do want to understand what we're up against.
Right.
Tools like Semrush or Ahrefs can help you analyze their website, see what keywords they're ranking for,
Okay.
and understand where their traffic is coming from.
So if I see that a competitor is getting a ton of traffic from Instagram, Maybe I should focus on building my presence there, too.
That's the idea. You're using these insights to inform your own strategy.
Mm.
But remember, competitive analysis isn't just about copying what others are doing.
Yeah.
It's about finding your own unique angle, your own way to stand out in the market.
So it's about finding those gaps that even my competitors might be missing.
Exactly. And one of the most powerful tools for doing that is a SWOT analysis.
Okay.
It helps you assess your own strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in relation to the market.
Okay, SWOT analysis. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I've always been a bit intimidated by it. Can you break it down for me?
Sure.
Like, how would my vintage clothing store use a SWOT analysis to uncover these market gaps?
Well, let's start with your strengths.
Okay.
Maybe you have a knack for sourcing these rare and unique pieces.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're a social media whiz who can build a loyal following online.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty good at finding those hidden gems at thrift stores and flea markets, so that's a strength.
Perfect. Now, weaknesses.
Okay.
Maybe you're not so great at photography, or you're not familiar with e-commerce platforms.
Yeah. The tech stuff is definitely not my forte.
All right.
I need to find someone who can help me build a website and manage online orders.
See, you're already starting to identify potential gaps that you need to fill.
Huh.
Now, opportunities.
Okay.
Maybe there's a growing demand for sustainable fashion, and you can position your vintage clothing as an eco-friendly alternative.
Right.
Or maybe there's a specific niche within vintage clothing that's underserved, like vintage athletic wear or vintage accessories.
Oh, vintage athletic wear is totally having a moment right now. I could definitely tap into that trend.
And finally, threats.
Oh.
What external factors could impact your business?
Okay.
Maybe a recession is looming, or maybe there's a new online platform specifically for vintage clothing that's attracting a lot of sellers.
Okay, so I need to be prepared for potential challenges and have a plan to adapt.
Exactly. The SWOT analysis helps you paint this clear picture of your position in the market,
right,
your competitive advantages, and the potential pitfalls you need to avoid.
This is all starting to click. I'm starting to see how understanding my strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats can help me find those gaps in the market,
right,
that could make my business truly thrive.
That's the power of market analysis. It's about using information to make smarter decisions, minimize risk, and maximize your chances of success.
So we've done our research, we've segmented our audience,
uh-huh,
we've sized up the competition, and we've done our SWOT analysis. What's next? Do we just jump in and start selling?
Not so fast. Before you invest a ton of time and resources, it's crucial to validate your findings.
Okay.
This means testing your assumptions and making sure that your idea resonates with your target market.
So how do we do that? Should I just start asking all my friends if they'd buy vintage clothing from me?
Well, your friends might be a little biased.
True.
It's better to get feedback from your target market.
Okay.
This is where the concept of a minimum viable product or MVP comes in.
Okay. I've heard that term thrown around, but I'm not exactly sure what it means.
Sure.
Can you explain it like I'm five?
Okay, so imagine you want to build this whole amusement park.
Okay.
But you're not sure if people will like the rides.
Right.
An MVP is like building just one roller coaster first.
Oh.
You test it out.
Yeah.
See if people enjoy it. And then based on that feedback,
okay,
you decide whether to build the rest of the park.
So instead of investing in a huge inventory of vintage clothing, building a fancy website, and launching this massive marketing campaign,
right,
I should start small and test the waters.
Exactly. Maybe you create a simple online store with a limited selection of your best vintage finds.
Yeah.
Or maybe you start by selling at local flea markets or pop-up shops to get a feel for demand.
Okay.
The idea is to get real-world feedback before you go all in.
That's brilliant. It's like dipping your toes in the pool before doing a cannonball.
And don't forget about A-B testing.
A-B testing. Is that like those science experiments we did in school?
It's similar. Let's say you're not sure which headline will perform better on your website. Like, shop the coolest vintage finds. Or, sustainable style starts here. You can create two versions of your homepage, each with a different headline, and see which one gets more clicks.
So it's about experimenting with different approaches and letting the data guide my decisions.
Exactly. You're constantly learning and refining based on real-world feedback.
This is all starting to feel less overwhelming and more like a fun challenge.
Good.
It's like we're unlocking the secrets to success.
That's the spirit. And speaking of unlocking secrets, in the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore some specific tools and tactics that you can use to gather market intelligence.
Okay.
And turn those insights into actionable strategies.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm excited.
Me too. Welcome back. Glad you're still with us on this deep dive into market needs and gaps.
Yes.
In the last part, we talked about validating our findings with an MVP,
yes,
which is like a sneak peek of your business idea before you go all in.
Right. It's like testing the waters before diving headfirst into the pool, which I definitely prefer.
Yeah. But let's say my MVP goes swimmingly and I'm ready to launch my online vintage clothing store.
Okay.
What are some like actionable steps I can take to really make it stand out in the market?
That's where the real magic happens.
Yeah.
You've gathered all this valuable market data,
right,
through research segmentation, competitive analysis, and even your MVP feedback.
Yeah.
Now it's time to put it into action.
Let's get tactical then. What does that look like in practice?
First up, refining your offerings.
Great.
Remember those vintage athletic wear trends you were excited about?
Uh-huh.
Maybe your research shows that vintage windbreakers are particularly hot right now.
Okay.
You can use that insight to curate a special collection, write blog posts about styling them, and really target those customers who are searching for that specific item.
So it's not just about having a general store, but really understanding those niche interests within my broader market.
Exactly. Think about what problems your customers are trying to solve.
Okay.
Maybe they're looking for unique pieces they can't find anywhere else. Or maybe they're trying to create a specific aesthetic.
Right.
Use your insights to position your offerings in a way that directly addresses those needs.
That makes sense. It's like speaking directly to the heart of what my customers are looking for.
Right.
What else can I do to make my store stand out?
This is where repositioning your brand comes in.
Okay.
What's your unique selling proposition? What makes you different from all the other vintage clothing stores out there?
Well, I'm really passionate about sustainable fashion, and I love the idea of giving these clothes a second life.
Yeah.
Plus, I have a knack for finding those one-of-a-kind pieces that you can't just find anywhere.
There you go. Those are your differentiators.
Okay.
Weave that into your brand story. Highlight the eco-friendly aspect. Mm. Showcase the uniqueness of your finds. Maybe even share your personal story and what drew you to vintage fashion.
I love that idea. It's not just about selling clothes, but about creating a brand that people connect with and feel good about supporting. Okay, so once I've got my offerings and brand story nailed down, what about expanding my reach?
Great point. Your market analysis might reveal untapped customer segments or geographic areas where your products would be a hit.
Okay, so let's say my research shows that there's a growing demand for vintage clothing in a specific city across the country.
All right.
How do I reach those customers?
There are a few options here. You could partner with influencers or bloggers in that city who align with your brand aesthetic.
Mm.
You could even consider targeted online advertising to reach people in that specific location who are interested in vintage fashion.
So it's about strategically expanding my reach based on the insights I've gathered, rather than just trying to appeal to everyone everywhere.
Precisely. And finally, don't underestimate the power of building strategic partnerships.
Ooh, collaborations are my favorite. But how does that apply to my vintage clothing store?
Think about complementary businesses that cater to a similar audience. Maybe you could partner with a local tailor who can help customers alter vintage pieces to fit perfectly.
Mm.
Or maybe you collaborate with a vintage furniture store to create styled photo shoots that showcase both of your products.
I love those ideas, like creating a whole vintage ecosystem.
Yes.
That offers customers a complete experience.
Exactly. And it allows you to tap into each other's customer bases and expand your reach even further.
This is all making so much sense, but isn't there a risk of getting so caught up in all these strategies that I lose sight of what's really important, the customer?
That's a great point. It's easy to get lost in the data and the tactics.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's all about building genuine relationships with your customers.
So how do I balance that human connection with all this market analysis stuff?
It's all about staying attuned to their needs and feedback.
Okay.
Remember those feedback loops we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Make sure you're regularly surveying your customers, reading online reviews, and paying attention to what they're saying on social media.
So it's like having a constant conversation with my customers,
right,
listening to their needs and adapting my approach based on what they tell me.
Exactly. That's how you stay ahead of the curve and ensure that your business continues to evolve and thrive. And speaking of evolving, remember those tools we mentioned earlier?
Yes.
Let's dive into those now and see how they can help you gather market intelligence and turn it into actionable strategies.
Okay. I'm ready to add some high-tech gadgets to my market analysis toolkit. We've talked about a few already.
Yeah.
Like Google Trends and SEMrush, but I'm eager to learn more about how they actually work in practice.
Let's start with Google Trends. It's like a window into the collective mind of the internet.
Okay.
You can see what people are searching for, how those search trends change over time, and even compare the popularity of different search terms.
So for my vintage clothing store, I could see if searches for like 80s band tees are peaking right now,
Yeah.
or if like 90s grunge style is making a comeback.
Exactly. And you can get even more granular.
Oh,
let's say you're trying to decide whether to stock more vintage Levi's or Wrangler jeans.
Okay.
You could compare the search volume for both brands in your target location to see which one is more popular.
That's so helpful. It takes the guesswork out of my inventory decisions. What about those other tools you mentioned?
Right.
Like Semrush and Ariffies, they sound a bit more intimidating.
They might seem complex at first, but they're incredibly powerful for competitive analysis.
Okay.
Think of them as your secret weapons for spying on the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Ethically, of course.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this ethical espionage.
Let's say you're curious how your biggest competitor is driving traffic to their website.
Okay.
Semrush and Ariffs can show you what keywords they're ranking for, what backlinks they have, and even what ads they're running.
So I can see what's working for them and maybe even identify some areas where they're falling short.
Precisely. Maybe you discover that they're not ranking well for a specific type of vintage clothing that you specialize in.
Yeah.
That's a gap you can exploit. Or maybe you see that they're getting a lot of traffic from Pinterest.
Right.
That might be a signal that you should focus on building your presence on that platform.
It's like having a roadmap to success based on what's already working for others in the market.
And don't forget about the power of social listening.
Oh, right.
Tools like Hootsuite or Brandwatch allow you to track conversations happening on social media about your brand, your industry, and even your competitors.
This is where it gets really interesting. I love the idea of being a fly on the wall and hearing what people are saying.
It's incredibly valuable for understanding customer sentiment.
Okay.
You can see what people love about your products, what they're complaining about, and even what they're wishing for.
So if I see a bunch of tweets from people lamenting the lack of vintage concert tees from a specific band,
right,
that's a signal that I should start sourcing those.
Exactly. Social listening helps you stay ahead of the curve and respond to emerging trends and customer needs in real time.
This is all starting to feel a bit like a superpower. But with great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's crucial to use these tools ethically and responsibly.
Yeah.
Remember, we're not trying to manipulate customers or steal trade secrets. We're simply using data and insights to make better decisions and create a business that truly resonates with our target market.
Speaking of resonating with the market, can we revisit some of those real-world examples?
Sure.
Of companies that have nailed this whole market needs and gaps thing?
Of course. We talked about Airbnb earlier.
Yeah.
They saw a gap in the market for affordable and unique travel accommodations and created a platform that disrupted the entire hotel industry.
But they didn't stop there, right? They've continued to evolve and add new features based on like changing customer needs.
Exactly. They've expanded beyond just rooms to offer entire homes and experiences.
Mm.
They've added features like verified reviews and instant booking to build trust and convenience. They're constantly innovating and staying ahead of the curve.
It's like they're playing a game of chess, always thinking a few moves ahead. What other examples come to mind?
Think about Netflix.
Okay.
They started as a mail order DVD rental service.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a brilliant solution to the pain point of late fees and limited selection at traditional video stores.
I remember those days, waiting for that little red envelope to arrive in the mail.
But as technology evolved and streaming became more accessible, Netflix saw the writing on the wall.
Right.
They pivoted their entire business model to focus on streaming, and they haven't looked back since.
And they've also become masters of creating original content that caters to specific niche interests, which keeps people glued to their screens.
It's a masterclass in understanding market needs and gaps, adapting to change, and continuously innovating.
These examples are so inspiring. It shows that any business, big or small, can find success by truly understanding their market and delivering solutions that meet real needs.
And remember, you don't need to be a tech giant or have millions of dollars to make a difference.
Yeah.
Sometimes the most innovative solutions come from small businesses or individuals who are passionate about solving a particular problem.
So if you're that bookstore owner we talked about earlier,
right,
maybe you notice that there aren't any good book clubs for young adults in your area.
Yeah.
That could be your opportunity to create a welcoming space for young readers to connect and share their love of literature.
Exactly. Or let's say you're a fitness enthusiast who's frustrated with the lack of inclusive fitness options in your community. You could start a fitness program specifically designed for people with disabilities or chronic illnesses.
I love that. It's all about using your knowledge, your passions, and your understanding of the market to create something meaningful that fills a real need.
And remember, the beauty of market analysis is that it's an ongoing process.
Right.
As the market evolves, new needs and gaps will emerge.
So we need to stay curious, stay adaptable, and never stop learning.
Couldn't have said it better myself. By staying attuned to the ever-changing needs of the market, we can unlock endless possibilities for innovation, growth, and positive impact.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. We've gone from understanding the fundamentals of market needs and gaps to exploring real-world examples of businesses that have thrived by tapping into those unmet needs.
It's been fun.
We've equipped you with the knowledge and the tools to analyze the market, identify opportunities, and turn your ideas into reality.
So what are you waiting for? Go out there, be a market detective, and make your mark on the world.
And remember, keep that final thought-provoking question in mind.
Yes.
What market need are you going to fill? The possibilities are limitless. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.